Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Live at the Times. Well, today we're talking about the second Aliyah in Shelach Lecha. And this is the big issue here, isn't it? Where we are digging our own grave, literally and figuratively, in the sense that the spies go have this aspect where they go, Nachal Eshkol, they go into this valley of Eshkol, they descend into this valley, and they get an Eshkol HaNavim, they get a cluster of grapes, and as we say, a cluster F in English is what came out of this, and they created their own cluster because really, they had an agenda to stay in the desert, right? In a negative sense, they were princes, and they wanted to maintain their level status. And on a higher sense, right, as we talked about yesterday, they removed themselves from the Tzaddik. They were from the Tzaddik, so they were in a weird state of mind, so to speak. But in a higher sense, they're like, well, why should we go into Israel where we're going to have to work the land, we're not going to be able to learn Torah, we're going to have to work, we're going to have to do things, there's now civil stuff and all this stuff going on. When we could stay out here and learn Torah in the desert and everything's taken care of us, reading man, and there's no problems, we should just do that. And so from that point on, everything they saw was a negative, right? They saw that there were these gigantic grapes, and they came back and they told people, you think these grapes are big? Look at the people, right? And they saw these giants, and they said, the land devours their people, which is true. The people were dying a lot, right? And the sages say that, well, it was a distraction for the people, right? They're so busy burying their dead that they didn't notice these 12 little Jews walking around, scoping out the land. It was a gift from Hashem. And they also said we were grasshoppers in our eyes, and so we were in their eyes. So we can see that they had this weird perspective that they looked bad, they looked negatively about themselves, they had low self-worth, and they projected it onto other things, and they projected it and spread it to their entire people. Right? And there's mass hysteria where the whole nation went along with it. And you wonder, how the heck is it possible for the entire nation to go along with this craziness? How is it possible for them to go along with this craziness? It makes no sense whatsoever. Rashi has an interesting thing. In their false report, they said, we came to the land and you sent us to. Indeed, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Saprut lo vayamu vanu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu v'gam zahavas chalav u'dvash. So they said, this is land of honey, land of milk and honey. And this is its fruit, meaning like there's giants there. It's craziness. And there were giants. This isn't a Bubba Mises, right? As we know, Og Melech HaBashan, he survived the flood. He survived the flood. And the sages say that there were at least four other giants that had survived the flood of Noah. I know that Moshe Rabbeinu was also a very large, exceptionally large person. And, but what? So what? Hashem can help us be anybody. It was our own perspective on it that we saw ourselves negatively. Not only that, but Rashi has a very, very interesting, comment here. It says, any falsehood that does not have an element of truth in it will not endure. They came here with truth. The report was, some of it was true. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But this was a Trojan horse to bring in the lies and the hysteria. And we see this in today's day and age that we live in a world where there's 8 billion people. And there's still so many people who love Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. But we see this loud contingency of Jew haters, right, who say anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. And they say all these different horrible, horrific claims. And the fact of the matter is that it's lies, sheker, but there has to be truth in there somewhere. And this is the thing that we as Jews don't want to acknowledge, that we're not perfect. Right? I'm not saying that we're doing the things that they're doing. I'm saying that we can be better. And what I mean by that is that why is there anti-Semitism in the first place? How was this created? It was created in order to keep the Jews in line. Meaning, Hashem created it in order to help to keep the Jews on track. That when the world is mad at the Jews, it means that we're not doing well by Hashem. What does Hashem ask of us? That we should choose life and not death. That we should keep Torah mitzvahs. And ultimately, even if we're keeping Torah mitzvahs, or even if we're not keeping Torah mitzvahs, right, is that it says, right, that somebody came to Hillel and asked him to teach him the Torah standing on one foot. He was being kind of condescending, but Hillel said, fine. And he stood on one foot and he said, what you don't want done to you, you don't do unto to your others, to your neighbors. The rest is commentary. And we live in a world where we're not being perfect with other people, not being perfect with others ourselves, not being, not practicing Ahavas Yisrael, which is why Shalach Lecha coincides with Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, the third temple was destroyed. The second temple was destroyed because of Sin Al Kinam, because we didn't love each other. It says that every generation that the temple is not rebuilt as if we destroyed it. So we destroy the temple. We have to accept responsibility. There's truth in these things that people are saying, that we don't want to accept responsibility, that we're not being the best that we can be, that we don't love each other. And instead of fighting back anti-Semites, we can fight back until we're blue in the face. We can respond to every single comment. We can do all the counter-protesting. We can do all these kind of things. We can fight with our fists. And I'm not saying any of this stuff is inherently bad. What I'm saying is we're missing the point that Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem gave us light. And Hashem gave us, it says that Am Yisrael, the Torah, and Hashem are one. But when we're not one, we're not one with Torah, and we're not one with Hashem. We're disconnected. And we start looking at ourselves negatively. So we were grasshoppers in our eyes, and so we were in their eyes. Why? Because they're disconnected. We see this in recovery all the time, that people in addictions have a negative self-image. And that's what happens when we're not connected, when there's a disconnection, is a misconnection waiting to happen. So we have to accept responsibility and have to say, Abba, I am not perfect. I need your help. I need your help to love other people better, to love other people in the best way, and have the help, the healthy self-worth. And anything that I'm not doing right in accordance with the will, please help me to be aligned with your will. And to have a positive outlook and the perspective that you want me to have, that I can look at things that you think are blessings, and I'm looking at it as negative. They're big, gigantic grapes, and we're finding a way to break down the grapes. And when we're talking about other people, to find that there is some truth in what they're saying, not to be completely dismissive and defensive, and to look for how I can be better and how we can be better as a nation. And in this way, we're going to see the salvation of Eretz Yisrael, of Am Yisrael, of everybody, that we're all connected. All 8 billion people are all still connected in some way. We're all going to have the same fate. So we better get used to getting along. And in this way, we're going to have true shalom bayis, as they say. And real shalom throughout the world. Third base on Mikdash, coming Moshiach speedily, l'chaim.